Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host, a very good friend, is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering I Am a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Season 23, Week 1, Chris. Something a bit different for us. We haven't done anything like this before. Where would you like to start?
Well, I'm disappointed you didn't say, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I think they're actually older than us, Dave, but we're the Wish version of Ant and Dec for this series, I think.
Well, Chris, you say this, but I did let you peek into a little bit of a revelation, but when I was about... Let me think. I had it at sixth form, and I also had it at uni as well. So let's say from about 17 to 19, my nickname in multiple friend groups was Duncan. I was just a dead ringer for Declan. And of course, I mean, a lot of our international listeners won't know this, but Ant and Dec were PJ and Duncan from, it was like an after-school sort of show, wasn't it? Biker Grove?
Yeah. Yeah,
and so that's where they came to prominence there. And then, of course, when the fucking single comes out, Let's Get Ready to Rumble, I just had it relentlessly for the next couple of years, just because I had the curtains, and I guess I've got a similar kind of face shape or did back in the day. So yeah, fucking Duncan. That was my nickname.
Well, I think, you know what, though, because we're very similar in ages. I had the curtains as well. I had exactly the same curtains. And even now, if my hair goes a bit long, which is I do always have the super quiff, I can still style it in a centre part in curtains, Dave, if I need to. It's very grey now. I need all my roots doing. But yes, I can still pull it off when my hair is that long. But... I liked Ready to Rumble. I actually, I don't know, the greatest hits of 96 CD, they do a song called, this is going to be terrible. When I fall in love, it's going to be forever. They would never forget this. Oh, yeah. And then he's like, forever, forever, falling in love is going to be forever. And I always remember
that. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that.
Maybe we should re-release it, because I actually quite liked it.
You know, one of those.
You should do the rapping bit, Dave.
One of those absolute dormant memories that I'd forgotten, but it was just that last bit that you were singing. I was like, oh, fucking hell, I do remember that. I was convinced they'd only done Let's Get Ready to Rumble, because that kind of gets replayed a bit, doesn't it, over and over again. But my word, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that after we finished.
After I've crucified it, but no, it's weird with I'm a Celeb, because it's a totally different show that we've done. Obviously, it's a celebrity one, and I know we've never covered a show where it is a celebs, Dave. I don't think we have it.
No, we haven't. They're all wannabe celebs, obviously, but they haven't been celebs before.
No, they're not A-list, are they really? But no, I mean, I think. Well, we watch it every year. I don't know if you do. We've watched it every year, me and Sam, for years. Even like the offshoots of it, like when Jordan got with Peter Andre and their family, we watched their reality TV show and all that sort of thing. And that was all born from I'm a Celeb. As I've said loads of times, I've done the Bush Tucker trial, won a holiday to Australia in 2010. It ain't no fun eating eyeballs and witching groups, Dave, and live locusts, but you've got to do it, you know. So I've done it, so I get it. That's just a small thing. But I've always enjoyed it, but I must admit, the last couple of years, I've got a little bit of fatigue with Ant and Dec. You know, the jokes and things like that. I did think they peaked when they did the Yes Prime Minister stuff at like Boris Johnson when we were in lockdown and stuff, and they were in Wales. But last year, they weren't on form, whereas this year, I think they've brought a few jokes to the table, and it still works, I think, with them too, because they win the awards every year, don't they, as like TV presenters of the year, and they've won it for like 15 years. They do Saturday Night Takeaway, which again is good, but it's always all the mates on it and all that. So I wasn't sure us doing this, how we would sit. However, with the contestants they've got in, as much as some of them, none of them are really A-listers, I think it's brought more than I thought it would this past week, more discussion points for us too, which is very strange, because usually you just talk about someone eating a fucking kangaroo's cock or something, and basically there's been a few cocks in there this week, Dave, I must admit.
Yeah. Now, I don't watch it every year. I think when it first appeared on our screens, I thought it was quite a funny concept. And, you know, you'd watch at least the highlights, you know, and you'd say, oh, God, it's terrible. And it was quite unique at the time, wasn't it, you know, when it came out. But like you say, it's got a bit old hat. And I think the thing for me, Chris, when I found out Nigel Farage was going to be on it, I was like, right, fucking, I've not watched it for like 20 odd years, but I am definitely not watching this. But then just seeing the kind of reaction from both sides, from the right and from the left in the political world, I'm just like, you know what? I'm kind of intrigued a bit now. And just how are they going to handle this? And so I thought, yeah, fuck it. I'm in. But I do think they have been on good form, and I was thinking this when I was watching it, like, how are they going to transition to something else? Because, you know, for 20 odd years now, best part quarter of a century, Chris, they've kind of been on our screens. I'm sure it was about 93-94, wasn't it? Let's Get Ready to Rumble. And so, you know, they were on Biker Grove before that. And they've always had these kind of cheeky chappy sort of personas, haven't they? And I was thinking, Are they always going to be like that? Are they, Chris, going to be, you know, in 40 odd years time or something? Are they going to be like Bruce Forsyth? You know, are they just going to stay the same, or are they going to evolve into something else? Just a weird little thing that I was thinking this week as I was watching it.
No, and it's funny because they have their own thing as well, because obviously Depp's always on the right of our screens, Ant's always on the left, Dave, that's always. Yeah. And then they've done it a few times, taking the piss where they swap over, and they do it at Saturday Night Takeover, and you're like, and they look at each other like, oh, hang on a minute, and they, you know, it's like a bit of a skip. But I'm with you, I don't know whether they've been doing the generation game, Dave, and you just go, oh, it's a cuddly toy, woo! Yeah. I don't know. But I do think, like, with the contestants they've got, like the Nigel Farage thing, I'm with you. Like, it didn't sit well with me that these politicians and people in these positions, we're not going to talk politics at all like that. But it's a redemption arc for them going on this show, isn't it? That's what they tried. Matt Hancock did it last year. I've just finished watching Celebrity SAS. Matt Hancock was on that. Actually got to the end. They didn't win it, thankfully. But with Farage, I'm with you. I was like, what is going on here? Like, and he's getting paid the most money. He's been paid more than, I think he's getting the most money of any contestant on I'm a Celebrity, 1.5 million. And it's like, he ain't fucking worth that. But I think as we get into the first episode and you meet him and they're doing these challenges, like hanging over the side of a building, which I must admit, I would love to do that, Dave. I don't know about you. I would love to do that one where they walk out, because that's a yearly thing.
Fuck that. Honestly,
I'd love to do it.
And I have told you, I've got this like lemming complex. Have I ever told you about this?
Yeah, you have, and I'm the same. Yes.
You're the same, and you still want to do it. I mean, to be fair, right, I don't have the same kind of feeling when I'm in a plane. When it is so high, and I think if someone else is in control, I think it's fine. But it's this weird thing where, if I feel like I'm next to a huge drop, every cell in my body wants to go and jump off. And it is weird. And it's not like I want to die and I, you know, this would be a good idea. It's this weird compulsion. And so I remember, I think, was it last year or the year before that, I was driving down this valley in Wales. And you could look over the valley and see the other side, the road on the other side of the valley. And I had to, Chris, I was going about 15 miles an hour. There was a massive queue behind me. I've just watched Planes, Trains and Automobiles. You know the bit where they've got their fingers embedded into the dashboard? That was me into the steering wheel. I was gripping it so tight because I was fighting myself to just career off the edge of the fucking cliff. So, yeah. Me and heights, we don't get on.
There's an answer there, Dave. Anyway, sorry. But you know what I wanted to talk about, right? So you get camp life and you get that usual reality TV thing where everyone's on the best behaviour, everyone's talking. And we knew with Farage being in there that either he's going to end up doing all the challenges or there's going to be some conflict. Now, I like Fred Sirius. You know, I watched Gino, Fred and Gordon. I've loved that reality show. I've watched Celebs Go Dating and all that sort of thing. I've done all, not Celebs Go Dating, what's it called? The one he does on Channel 4, the one, the restaurants in Manchester.
I've watched that. First Dates.
I've watched all of them. I really like Fred. I think he's a genuine guy. I've watched him, I follow him on social media. And obviously he has a pop at Farage, doesn't he? Quite rightly. And I saw online that massive praise for him. But also then in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, it does feel like we're playing to the audience. He probably deserved it, but it's also sort of one of them where you're like, people are still maneuvering on these shows and everything, and after like they settle in, we can see now the back end of the week things are changing, the dynamic, there is a little bit of needle between people. But I don't know, Farage has attacked this week and pretty much done everything, hasn't he? And that's what Matt Hancock tried to do to prove a point. I don't know. I don't get it. And we saw his bare arse, Dave, as well, which I didn't need to see on a fucking Monday night or Tuesday night. But I mean, Josie Gibson's funny. But what do you think about all that? Because it's a hard one. We're not going to get political, but in the same sense, just as a person, I think he's a wanker. But also, it's like he hasn't done anything wrong at the moment in the context of the show.
He's on his best behaviour, though, isn't he? I mean, this is the Tories for me are so right now that they are basically what UKIP was. So Farage left the Tories in 92 because he didn't like, you know, how cozying up they were to Europe, and so, you know, created this whole UKIP thing. But the Tories now are basically UKIP. So, you know, rumor has it that this is part of his redemption. You know, people are going to watch it and go, oh, you know what? It's not too bad. And he just stiff British upper lip and he just gets on with it, doesn't he? You know, put some fucking cockroaches down my trousers, eat a fucking kangaroo cock, whatever, you know, just get on and do it. That's his whole objective in coming into this, I think, you know, because he's not a politician now, I don't think, is he? He's sort of waiting for his next move. And we all know with politicians, there is no age limit. Fucking, you can be as old as you want and still run for prime minister or president or whatever. I think the thing you say about Fred, I mean, so was he playing up to it? I don't know. So let me give you a different perspective. So that day after the whole the referendum vote came out, I was in an office with a bunch of people who were not British, like a bunch of people from all across Europe, Croatia, Norway, Belgium. And honestly, everyone felt unwelcome. Everyone felt in that moment like, we're not wanted here. So Fred, you know, probably had a very similar, and I'm talking about a very personal thing, you know, from, we all have our own little sphere of existence, don't we? And so you experience things in your own little bubble, which is not everyone, I get that. But I imagine Fred, being French, probably had that same feeling, because it wasn't just one person saying it to me. It was like say that. In fact, I'm saying the day, it was probably the week after. Everyone was just shell-shocked and, like say, had that feeling of being unwelcome. So I imagine he had that same feeling and probably wanted to get some of it off his chest.
Yeah, and you could be right. I mean, his daughter's a Olympic diver, Dave, for Great Britain. You know, his roots are in the UK. Right. He's got kids here, his son and that, but his daughter's a fantastic diver. She's won medals and everything, Commonwealth Games and that. So, and I think what he said was correct. It was just like you knew someone was going to say something, weren't you, or ask an opinion on that. And it didn't. And what was strange was, I thought, and I'd see it ready, like he's not going to do any of the challenges, and because he had this helicopter accident and was severely injured a few years ago and that. But he has done a few of them.
Sorry to cut across you there, Chris. Is that real? was he really as bad as he said he was? Because, you know, we all heard the stories. Fucking Boris Johnson was death's door, wasn't he, with COVID? Yeah, all bollocks. All utter horseshit. Yeah. And yeah. When he was telling that story about the plane crash, I was like, yeah, I don't know how much I buy about, you know, how severe this all was.
I know, but I don't know. I can't remember myself proper. I remember he had to be airlifted or whatever he was. He was that. But either way, so I did think he's not going to be doing the challenges. So he's done a few and that this week. I mean, even last night, he did the pint thing with Tony Bellew, and Bellew was absolutely horrendous. We'll talk about him. But yeah, I don't, and I'm not to labour on him, because, but he's the most controversial figure in the actual camp, Dave. But he wasn't... for me, the one who's annoying me the most of some of the other characters that were in there. Mm. Jamie Lynn, Britney Spears' sister, the first few days, she's got kids now. Well, she had not read the room, obviously never watched the show. She settled down now. Yeah. Once she won the finger, once she won that challenge and got all like the 10 stars, and then that sort of settled her then, and she had no fear jumping off the edge of that cliff thing. So that was good. But then also we had Nella, who's a YouTuber who, for me, you can clearly see she's had no media training with like the other people have, and sort of speaks her mind. And I thought at times this week she's come across pretty poor to for myself, and I've seen a lot online with that. But some of the things that happened, especially with Fred, it was a hard thing to watch, because I think maybe Fred's words were a bit clumsy, but I also felt she overreacted, and it just ended up with she didn't speak to him for nearly 4 days that we saw. Now, obviously, it seems they're at an impasse together because they're doing a challenge. But I found Nella Rose a real difficult character this week in the camp, and she seemed to just like had a couple of little conflicts with different people. Even Sam, of all people, I know he's like a fucking Zebedee and jumps around, Dave, like he's a coil spring, but I don't know, he's a very interesting character.
No, it's a very serious point, but I'll come on to Sam in a minute. But the Noella thing, I mean, definitely she seems to be the villain of the week, doesn't she? And I think like you say, there's two moments. The thing with Fred and then the thing with Sam. When it comes to the challenges, I think she's been a fucking trooper. You know, I mean, yes, with the old cockroaches and, or was it cockroaches, the worms, grubs, whatever they were, in the helmet, in the glass sort of fishbowl thing they had. And I'm looking at it thinking, how is she breathing? It's just too much for me, but she does just seem to get on with it. So I think there are positive aspects as well. However, the thing with Fred, I thought she acted like an utter bell end. I mean,
yeah,
you could say you feel like Fred was clumsy with his words. No, he wasn't. He was just saying, like, the guy's 51, he was saying, and he's saying he's old enough to be her dad. And she turns this around, like saying that he's given her attitude, and she knows that that her dad's dead, and like makes it out like he's trying to be her dad or something. And it's like, what are you fucking talking about? And what I really, really didn't like about it, Chris, is not just the way she was treating Fred in that moment when all he was just trying to be nurturing. You know yourself, you know. When you're a parent, you do kind of grow this part of your personality that is a bit nurturing, or maybe not everyone does, but I've certainly felt it as well. And I just feel like she went way overboard. But what I really, really didn't like is how she was representing it to the rest of the group. You know, so when she's relaying the story of what happened, it's like Fred is this utter arsehole. And like, he's saying, oh yeah, you fucking dead dad, I could replace him. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
no, you're borderline fucking lying there. I mean, I always laughed on her. We always laughed, you know, about how people represent the stories on, say, Love Island. You know, they some event happens and then they go off and then they'll use words to either soften or heighten, depending on how they want the audience to feel. They'll manipulate that person through the use of specific words. for me, that's what Noella was doing. And she got a rise out of some of the group as well, you know, who were all on her side. Oh, yeah, you okay? You okay? Whereas we as the viewer, you're like, fuck off. So, yeah, I think the as usual, you know, the social media backlash goes way over, you know, to one side. But, you know, you can kind of see why she's ended up being the villain this week.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, it reminded me a little bit of, I don't know if you want to watch it, but when last time Big Brother was on, Roxanne Pallett, who was off Emmerdale, and Ryan Thomas off Coronation Street, there's a massive controversy where he was like shadow boxing. And I think he's known her for years. He did a little bit of he didn't jab or anything, but he sort of like touched her, you know, like on a shoulder or something like that. You know, as a joke, like a bit of, you know, when you get those shots, remember?
Yeah.
And then she then went into the diary room and made it out like he'd chinned her or something. And then she told the story to the rest of the house. And it's like, we're watching this as the audience. What the hell? And no, I mean, maybe it's a bad choice of words, but it was clumsy. What I felt was he said it once, he said it again, and he sort of could see that she was, and I don't think there was any malice in what he was saying. It's what me and you would say if there was a 20-year-old kid there, you go, how many times you've probably said the same, I'm older, or someone you work with, I'm old to be your dad or whatever. You know, we're at that age where that is just a mathematical conclusion. It's something that is true. You could have, you know, and he could have given you 15 or whatever, but it's true. That's all he was saying. Well, he said it a couple of times, but then for her to then take it to that level, I was like, oh, come on, we don't need this. And then like you say, she was the baddie of the week, because then Sam, you know, I've just recently watched a thing on ADHD about Sam Thompson, and I know he's an influencer. He does like Made in Chelsea, and he's done loads of different TV shows that I've watched him on, but it was really good. Now, I related to that, having just been diagnosed myself. So it was like, but he is on, I can be very excitable and very thing, but he's on a different level. Do you know what I mean? So maybe I'm being a bit biased, but I don't think he did anything wrong. And then it was like, she just wanted the reassurance of, I am in the right, you're in the wrong. And then she got the girl of EastEnders to go and get him to come back. And he's like a little puppy. And he's like, oh, what's up? And it was just like, come on, you don't need that. You don't need that. But then she had a very interesting conversation with Nigel Farage as well. So it was like, come on, you know, and I just hope it doesn't, for her, that it doesn't carry on, because I've seen like it online. She has made some errors this week, and she was in the wrong completely with Fred in my eyes. I agree with you on that. But look, these are what makes the show tick, Dave. There's got to be somebody who people are talking about, and the social media buzz. That would have created so much buzz for the show. The actual producers would be so happy with that sort of engagement with people online, because that's all you would see on Twitter. And Twitter's not the be-all and end-all. There's other social media channels, but it was literally everything. All it was Nella Rose was like the number one trending topic on Twitter. I had a look. So maybe it's done the job, Dave. She's an influence at the end of the day. You know, any news is good news in that sort of world.
Well, I don't know, you know, because when things go badly, and let's call the elephant out in the room, like, she is a woman of colour. So, you know, certain fucking wankers come out, especially on Twitter, or X, as it is called now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, all the they fucking crawl out from under the fridge, don't they? And you know, take it way too far. I mean, look, I do think she was wrong the way she reacted, and I hope she reflects back on that when she sees that and she realizes, yeah, that's not good. Now, I don't want to move off Noella just yet. I'm going to stick a pin in that and just say about Sam. So I remember you saying about the ADHD documentary and talking about it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I would want to watch that. But I didn't know. I didn't join it up with this chap called Sam. So I don't really know him. And I'm watching it, especially the first episode, and he's so excitable. And I'm thinking, you know what, if you are a presenter, if you're on the radio, or if you're on a children's TV show or something, you know, that is fantastic. Blue Peter, maybe. Awesome.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, being a miserable fucker myself, I thought, oh, I think he'd be a bit too much for me. You know what I mean? If you buy a new pair of trainers, oh yeah, just bought this new pair of trainers, you know, quite like them. Oh, they are the best trainers I have ever seen in my life. Oh, let's have a look at, you know, he's just full on with everything, isn't he? And I just imagine myself, you know, if you imagine Squidward from SpongeBob, I was thinking, I think he would make me Squidward. I just think I would get more grumpy around him. But it was uncomfortable because ultimately, some people lift up energy and other people bring energy down. And it was quite a horrible thing, I thought, to see Sam, you know, being all so excitable and being so supportive and stuff, and like, you know, they're going to do this challenge together, and then she's off having a fucking moan. So Noella's having a moan about, oh, you know, it's just, I don't need it. I don't need him in my space, kind of thing. And then I can't remember who she was talking to, but they have a word with Sam, and then Sam comes across, and it's like you say, he's like a little puppy, and it's like you've just told the puppy off for, you know, having an accident on the rug or something. You know, it was quite uncomfortable to watch, I felt. I mean, how did you see that?
Yeah, I thought it was wrong. It was just, she wanted a bit of quiet. And obviously, like you say, he brings the energy. But you need energy in the camp like that. When you're doing these challenges and you're very bored and you're different things, the last thing you want to be doing is just sat. Sometimes you need to reflect, fair enough, if you've done a challenge and that. But I don't think he did anything wrong. And it was just like, he then backed down, and it was like, you're pandering to Nella all the time now. You know, like, we don't need that. Like, when she was doing the challenges, it was dead loud, wasn't it? And I must admit, the first challenge was doing my head in, because the screen, but I was thinking, this is YouTube, this is what them, yeah. You know what I fucking hate on YouTube, and this is coming from somebody who does holiday vlogs, Phelps travel vlogs, by the way, if you do want to see my boat race. But on YouTube, and I do thumbnails, I design my own thumbnails, I do all that shit, is them fucking, hate them thumbnails where someone's got that shock face, you know, one of them, like, yeah. Oh my God, you won't believe what's happened now. And yeah, it's like, what? Like,
again.
Oh, no, Aldi have put the price up of fucking beans. Wow. But it, then
there's
thumbnails,
an explosion in the background or something.
Yeah. Fucking, someone's got a fucking machine gun or something there like this, because scattergun in the beans. But they're the things on the algorithm that people click on. And I'm sure I've done the same, Dave. You see it. And I see it. There's a guy I follow, and he's a massive holiday vlogger. And he'll always put now, he's obviously, someone's told him, you need to do, like, his thumbnails aren't really, they're auto-generated, where you can create these ones that people put on, and you go on, like, certain websites and design them and stuff. And you can do, and I've done a couple, and there's one I did for Vegas with Sam. So if everyone goes on the channel, we did it in Vegas, and I didn't mean to. And she's got two bottles of champagne at 7 a.m. And I just clipped her laughing next to one of the slot machines, because we were supposed to go for breakfast. And Sam's like, yeah, we'll have two Prosecco or champagne. And it looks like one of them fucking thumbnails. So I was like, oh, fuck it, I'm putting it on. And it's probably one of the most viewed videos, which was the only intense. It was more a piss take at the other people. But the channels I watch, it pisses me off. And he's like, I say, there's this guy who does it all the time. He goes, you won't believe what's happened. And he'll do a 10-minute video of him walking through this place somewhere, like in Europe. And then at the end, he'll go, oh, they didn't have a fucking pillowcase on me pillow. And I'm like, I fucking stood here for 10 minutes listening to this shit. And honestly, he's literally taken it, and every video there's a controversy, like, oh, you won't believe what's happened to me today. And I'm like, and it does, and then I'm calling myself out, because I'm saying this as I'm watching his video, Dave. His content's pretty good, but all the others do it, and it fucks me off on the thumbnail. It really fucks me off. So I can get that this is her character. She's obviously a very complex character with losing both the parents. It's an act. She's playing somebody, but it's a successful character she's playing on YouTube. It's herself, like, turned up to 100. So when that energy came in that first game, I was like, oh, I'm not here for this, for every challenge. The screaming, the over the top, that's what they want. However, Dave, as a middle-aged man, that also appeals to our children's generation, because these sort of characters are what they're watching and digesting every day, and that will turn the younger generation on watching I'm a Celeb, because obviously we're the old fogies now, aren't we? So I get it, and I understand why they've done it. It's just at times, like, because she's only been on YouTube and never actually worked. She has done some presenting work, I think, as well, a little bit, but there's just something different. She's not as reserved as the other people, which can be a plus and a minus. And I think this week it's been a minus, unfortunately, with some of her reactions.
Mm. So let's stick on the YouTube thing for a minute, because I did see a few comments like, fucking YouTuber, you know, like, because anyone can start off their own channel, can't they? Or podcast, Chris. You know, so
like we have,
So next year, look out. But the reality is that this is a generational thing. It's like my kids, they don't sit and watch like ITV or BBC or whatever. It is mostly YouTube and binging certain series, you know. So the viewing habits have changed a bit. So I think it's perfectly valid to have someone who's got, you know, a decent sized following on YouTube. And again, fair fucks to her, because we know that that is hard. You know, and you are trying to, okay, you're pandering to clicks a little bit, probably, I imagine, you know, to get up to that thing, you know, and the, God, like, in everyone, and like, if we ever do YouTube, Chris, it'll be the same for us, I'm sure. But yeah, before we get into today's content, smash that subscribe button and like button, you know, whatever. It's all the same stuff, isn't it? Because they know that's part of the YouTube algorithm. So, you know, and I've done it myself where, you know, if I'm watching a YouTube video, I'm not particularly thinking about the like, and then they ask me to click like, and I click like, you know, so I do exactly what they asked me to. So I think it's perfectly valid to have that. And I think, you know, you might see more of that as the series go on, you know. I mean, I don't know, is this going to carry on indefinitely? I'm not sure. But, you know, if I think back to those early seasons, you did have your genuine celebrities, you know, your TV personalities, your sports personalities and whatever. Whereas now I think because the viewing habits have changed, I think you might see less. I mean, in terms of celebrity, I mean, we're not talking A-listers here, are we, anyway? So, you know, I think you'll see more and more. I mean, certainly as valid to be on there as any fucking politician. I mean, at least Farage, you know, he seems to be making his own money. You know, I think, have you seen the one where he did a cameo? Have you seen that? Where he did up the rah, you know, it's fucking, it's like an Irish thing. But so he's like fucking knob. So, but fucking Hancock last year, still getting paid his fucking MP's salary. It was fucking scandalous for me when you know, getting paid for that job, you should not be fucking spending your time in the jungle on this shit. Do your job, you twat.
Yeah, well, Nadine Doris, Dave, she can stand up as well, but let's not talk about that. But anyway, so, Dave, we get the captains at the back end of the week. So we got Frankie Dettori and Tony Bellew. Now, Mr. Bellew, I have met in person, Dave, at United game. Everton fans were stood behind us. He is fucking huge. You know, he is a massive bloke. I mean, I'm 6'2". He is miles taller than me, wider. He is a big fucking unit. But what I loved was, unintentionally, he's turned into the grumpy old man, because he was fucking fuming when he got beat by Frankie Dettori. And they obviously, when they did these challenges with the baseball music and, you know, and they tackled the score. And I was pissing myself on Friday when he's going on camera, you see Ant and Deck trying like to talk over, because like the producer and Eagle, and he keeps swearing, he's going, "That's bollocks, that's fucking bollocks." And you could hear him as the other team, Fred and that, are dancing round and all that, and they've won. And he's just going, "Bollocks." You can see me and Sam were pissing ourselves laughing, because every time they pan to him, he's just turning his head. He wouldn't look at the camera, he's turning the other way. He was fuming, Dave. It was so funny. And then as it carried on, last night's episode was the same. He ends up doing the pints challenge with Farage. Farage didn't even blink, Dave, like he was doing it. Tony Bellew, he was, as we saw, he was throwing up in a bucket, but he was getting more and more fucking grumpy. It was just, it made me piss because I was like, oh, that's middle age you there, Tony. Now you're retired. But he was so angry with like the situation, and so like he couldn't hold it back as a competitive sportsman, Dave. I'm sure Frankie Dettori even said that, Frankie, that he would have been the same because I've been so annoyed and if we didn't win. But I just found it ridiculous, and he's brought some one-liners, and I know obviously he's an Everton fan and United are playing Everton today, so it might be different. Glad we're recording early, but he's unintentionally become funny. So much so, Dave, that someone on Twitter actually said that the picture of him with that handlebar moustache, which he's growing for Movember, so respect, made him look like Max and Paddy together as one person. So I was pissing myself. So what did you think of his entrance in, Dave? Because I just thought it was unintentional comedy for me.
I was interested, but Chris, they don't call them the Bitter Blues for no reason.
No.
I just think it's funny, right? So if anyone's not aware, so Everton have just been docked 10 points by the Premier League, which, considering Man City have got 115 outstanding charges, does seem a little bit weird, doesn't it? Very, very strange that City are just quite happily, you know, going along there and Everton get docked these points. And I just thought, at some point, corruption is going to be discussed here. And especially, what I really want to see is fucking Bellew and Farage like get into a discussion.
Yes.
But we're going to have to wait. Hopefully that's going to happen next week. But the thing is, Chris, when he was giving it the whole Bertie Big Bollocks, and yeah, I expect a bit of banter, expect a bit of sledging, you know, try and get into the heads of your opponents. But he was giving it the big un so much, I was thinking, oh, I fucking hope you lose. I can't wait for you to lose. And sure enough, you know, because Frankie Dettori and Fred had gone for the smaller balls, you know, so the harder thing with the foam hands, you know, they scored more points. Now, I don't think that was explained at the start. Whereas, I mean, it should be a bit obvious, shouldn't it? You know, in a game like this. So, it was fucking funny when he lost. And then, like you say, you just hear him in the background, it's corrupt. So, absolutely brilliant.
I must admit, Dave, when I was watching it, I did think of you thinking, well, I'm sure Dave's going to revel in this because, you know, with all the controversy, like you say, and with United playing today, which we're walking into a bear pit, I'm like, he is a massive Evertonian as well, isn't he? So he's probably thinking about the football as well, Dave. You know, he'll be missing his family. But I don't know with Tony, like, how he's going to go on in this. At the moment, he seemed quite funny, and he's got a few one-liners, and he doesn't stand any messing. But sometimes it doesn't always come across like that, does it, in these shows? Like, people who are quite outspoken and wear the heart on the sleeve, it goes one way or the other. They either have a lot. And I went on Twitter then, looking at last night, engaging opinion on him, and it was pretty much 90% was positive, like, oh, Tony Bellew's just unintentionally being funny, he's the grumpy old man and what he keeps doing. And then these other ones going like, because he gets called it a lot, doesn't he, because of his name, Bellew, Tony Bellew, and they say, so they were so I didn't say that, Dave, because he's a fucking big lad, but yeah. But that's what they say. Oh, Tony Bellew,
Chris, who said that,
again,
Tony, if you're listening.
Yeah, Tony, I'm not a Liverpool fan, Tony, yeah, but no, so it'll be interesting how long that lasts, Dave, this sort of skit, if he's not winning. Because obviously he's a big guy, he needs his food, doesn't he? So he's, you know, yeah.
I am very interested where this goes, because I'm thinking the same thing, I think, as you, that, you know, lack of food, lack of sleep, he's going to get grumpy pretty fucking quickly, I think. I don't think he's going to come across well. I mean, like you say, it's still early doors for him. If you think everyone else has been in there for the best part of the week, Frankie Dettori and Bellew have just literally come in, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to find it pretty hard. And because he's a big guy, he needs more calories as well. You know, and I just think he's going to find it hard. And I think he's going to have a few run-ins. That's my prediction anyway.
I think so. But anything else, Dave, before we go on our first episode?
No, I will say I have enjoyed it this week. I did enjoy Ant and Dec's little pop at GB News, or GBBs as I like to call it. You know, which what I found hilarious is, you know, a lot of your Daily Mail readers are kind of looking at it going, oh, the fucking lefties, they're all going to be up in arms about Nigel going in and he's going to fucking kill it. And straight away, episode one, they take the piss, don't they, about, you know, unfortunately, Nigel can't do his GB News show, so we're going to have to apologize to the viewers. And I can't remember what names they used, but they said, sorry, Frank, sorry, Linda, or something like that. Yeah. And then everyone, all your Daily Mail crowd are fucking up in arms then. Oh, they're fucking too woke and whatever. So it's just been so, some of the reactions just been hilarious, to be honest. And again, I have enjoyed the week. I do think it's quite interesting to see some of the interaction between the different contestants. I have to say, Chris, I didn't know who Josie was. You know, I don't particularly watch Good Morning, or is it
Good Morning?
Oh, This Morning. But I have found her quite funny. And there was the challenge where they have to get that fucking shitty water and they have to absorb all the water. And then she's getting the guy from the band to jump on it. She's going, jump on me, give it to me. it just made me laugh. I think she does seem like good fun. She just sort of pokes fun at herself as well. I think she's one of the favourites to win it, isn't she? And she's quite an endearing character, I think.
Yeah, she's very genuine. I never was a fan of This Morning over the last few years from the ex-presenters, Dave, who both left for various reasons. But she did fill in. She was like a roaming reporter for them. She's done the show herself. She's very honest. I mean, she told a story about being drunk doing the show. Brilliant. I think she probably was drunk. The other two ex-fucking presenters used to do that fake thing after the TV awards where they would come on drunk. Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm doing drunk. Yeah. How have you been? Fuck off. So she does seem very genuine, Josie. I do like her. So, yeah, I think she's still a favourite. Sam Thompson's second at the moment. I think Fred's about third or fourth, but I've not looked at the odds for anyone else. But, yeah, she's the front runner because you get what you see with Josie. She's Big Brother alumni, Dave, like Alison Hammond, who does This Morning as well. Right. That's where she started. So, yeah, nice girl.
Gotta say, old Fred. You know, saying he's 51, we were talking about that before. Got a decent body ripped on him, though, hasn't he? He's like, he's obviously he's been ripped, to the Dave. Gym.
Yeah. Him and Marvin. Marvin looks the business as well, Dave.
Yeah. That's really Marvin, good together. What's his band?
His band was because Jordan saw him live.
JLS,
and he's on This Morning. He's stood in for Philip and Phil and Holly a few times. Him and his wife as well. That they've both. She still does it, I think. Still does some presenting on there. But he's been on loads of times. So he's got quite a good media career. But JLS are back together. So I know he's touring because I think Jordan might be going to see him next year. She's seen him a few times.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously ripped up as well, isn't he? But you know, he's in his 30s. Chris, I have more admiration for Fred, I think, you know, having been through his 40s, that's why I've got more admiration for him.
Yeah, me too.
We all know, kind of, you know, things get a bit harder, don't they? Well, not everything.
I fault for that, Dave. Well, they might get harder, but not as long, Dave. But anyway, that's another story.
But yeah, keeping trim, that is a constant battle, isn't it? So hats off to you, Fred.
No, good stuff. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Like I say, it's a different sort of show for us, but we are going to keep going with it. And we really appreciate it. If you want to email us or anything you think about I'm a Celeb, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. As always, please go over to patreon.com/cdrealitycast if you want to support us a little bit more. We appreciate everyone who's followed us, supported us over the last few years. He's really humbling. And also, if you do want to get over and have a chat, get over to Facebook, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. In the chat channels now, there is show-specific chats as well. So there's an I'm a Celeb one, Love Island Maths. So yeah, come and join us, guys. It's plenty of good chat and insider stuff on there. And people just ranting when they need to, and there's been plenty of that this week, so it's been good fun listening and engaging with everyone. So today's roll call of honour is a big thank you to Katja, Sims, Andreas, Nick, Danielle, Caroline, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Nicola, Emma, Fiona, Cassie, Megan, Maggie, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Noreen, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Dee Dee, Susan, Hennessy, Lucky Lulu Green, Lauren, and Kenga Starson. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support. We really, really appreciate it.
No, that's awesome, mate. And I am glad we're covering in something a little bit different. Not so happy that it's 7 nights a week, but, you know, it is only the 3 weeks, so it's not like the usual two-month Love Island slog or something. So that is a little bit better. But thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.